3, 2, 1. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's up, my man?
Nothing much.
Are you mellow?
I am.
Are you chill?
Yeah. After what
are you doing
meditation
up there?
Every Thursday, we get together to meditate for 20 minutes.
That's nice.
Sit down quietly and just...
Don't you meditate throughout the day?
Well...
Is this just official?
I guess depends on what your definition of meditation is.
Here, talk a little bit closer so we don't miss any of your amazing deep thoughts.
Yeah.
Deep thoughts.
It's just a matter of... I guess people think that meditation... could be thinking about something. And what I think about meditation is just, you know, quieting your mind and keeping it in the present moment.
That's right.
Yeah.
I try to do that all the time. I mean, I find...
Well, yeah, of course.
As I get older, the more I go out in the future and around in the past, it's a miserable...
It is.
It's a miserable existence. And so I try to stay in the present.
That's right.
Did you know Eddie Harold? Ed Harold?
No.
Damn, I always ask everybody on the podcast if they knew him. He had a yoga studio here at the end of New Road. Him and his wife, I forget her name, but anyway, they had the yoga studio, and he was really into like meditation and focusing and breathing. I call him like a breathing guru.
Nice.
I didn't realize. I know that breath is the great equalizer for me, but I didn't realize, you know, it's like a thermostat, you know, it keeps our body cool. I was watching this podcast with Laird Hamilton. You know who Laird is?
Yes.
That big wave surfer guy.
Uh-huh.
And he says we're designed to breathe through our nose. We're not supposed to breathe through our mouth. And that when we breathe through our nose, a gas is released in our nasals that helps open up our lungs.
Yeah.
And when we breathe through our mouth, we become lazy. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I guess. I mean, there's I know you're a runner.
Yep. And you're a runner.
I a little bit here and there. But when I started to run regularly, I was wondering if I could breathe through my mouth to keep up with my, you know, the need of oxygen, or because I sometimes had trouble breathing through my nose.
Right.
I went online, and I guess everybody has a different opinion.
Well, I can't, you know, if I'm running, I can't just breathe through my nose. I mean, it's either I'm not in that great a shape or it's impossible.
Exactly.
I mean, maybe some people do it, but when you, like we used to do with, when I would do yoga with him, we would do like half hour of yoga, then we'd get on these stationary bikes, and he would say, you know, exhale over 10. Inhale over 5, meaning exhale over 10 seconds, meaning he used to call it ocean sounds. I call it zombie. You know, restrict your exhale for 10 seconds or 5 seconds or 8 seconds. Just, you know, have 8 seconds to get the full breath out and then take the full breath in over 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you all of a sudden you really start sweating because, you know, oxygen and air and breath is, it cools you down as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he was just like, we would do minimal amount of cardio and I'd be sweating like I was running a marathon.
Yeah.
So it was just, you know, I don't practice all the stuff that he used to show me, but it was great to learn about that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, but he also, we did meditation and he would say, you know, focus on a tennis ball. And I was like, well, that's weird, but it's hard. Shut your eyes and try to imagine a tennis ball floating in the air. And sometimes it would be a big tennis ball, a smaller tennis ball, a big shiny ball. But it kind of represented what was going on in my day.
Yeah.
You know, if it was spinning real fast, I was probably had a lot going on.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's a muscle and you have to practice with it.
Yeah.
Exercise it.
Well, that's a lot about, you know, breathing. Like, there's the Tibetan monks can spend the night outside, you know, in the dead of winter, and they just thermoregulate the bodies through breathing.
Mm.
You know, that's pretty intense,
man.
That's
a badass. That's
yes,
they have nothing else going on but that. I mean, if I had nothing else going on, I could probably hone that in.
Yeah.
I mean, they're, you know, monks in Tibet, they don't really do much but suffer.
Meditate. That's right. Well,
well, to them, it's all positive, but to, you know, earthly folks like us, it would be suffering.
Yes.
Well, I watched a show the other day, and this guy, there's a group of monks up in upper state New York, and you can go live with them. He stayed 15 days, and he said it was an absolute nightmare. I mean, after it was all done, he grew somehow spiritually, but for the most part, it was a nightmare. And they just sat and did nothing, but, you know, meditated and focused and whatever they do. They gave up all their worldly belongings. And one guy had been there 45 years.
Wow. And that's intense.
Yeah, that is intense. I mean, but hey, I'm not an expert in monking.
I've done a few retreats when I lived in Mexico.
Yeah.
I used to go to a meditation center that was part of a Casa Tibet House.
Mm-hmm.
We had a great teacher down there, Tony Karam, Marco Antonio Karam, and he would have people, monks or, you know, teachers from all traditions come in and we will have weekend retreats and whatnot. And one time, I think the longest I did was like 4 or 5 days, silent retreat. That was tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, we meditated on conscious death.
So do you stress out? Do you have anxiety? Do you worry? I mean, what, or do you just want to meditate?
Well, I really enjoy meditation, you know. I guess, as you know, when I quit drinking, I started, you know.
Thinking?
Well, yeah, exactly.
I agree.
And I started realizing other stuff, and something that really helped me, I guess, one time I met a guy down there who invited me to this meditation center in Guadalajara. That's where I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had a really good connection with everybody. It was, he became my, you know, my friends. They call it Sangha. He was my, we would, I mean, none of those guys drank either, and not because of the same reasons that I quit, but, you know, because of, you know, their choice or, and it was really cool. We got together. There was something going on every night at that center. So I would meditate regularly 3 or 4 nights a week, and it was nice.
I mean, you know, we both don't drink, but, you know, it's not a drinking disease. It's a thinking disease. And, you know, a lot of, I can't speak for you, but I can speak for myself. You know, it's a self-centered disease, whether, you know, it comes out through alcohol, food, money, big shotism, whatever it is, you know, it's annoying. And unfortunately, drinking for me, you know, could get me in jail or kill somebody because I was a total drunk driver. But when I put down the, and we were talking about this yesterday, and that kind of that, and whether you're in a program or not, but, you know, that first step is like admitting it.
Yeah.
You know, that our lives have become unmanageable. My life didn't become unmanageable until I got sober. Up until then, my life events were unmanageable. You know, crashing, getting punched in the face, jail, handcuffs, broken windows. Those are all life events.
Yes.
At the time, they seemed like my life was unmanageable, and it was easy to use that as evidence towards my case. But after I got sober, I realized, you know, tell me I'm doing a great job on a podcast, the next thing I want to be the next Joe Rogan. That's where life becomes unmanageable. And that's where, you know, for me, meditation, coming back to earth, come on back, Tom, because I'll get out there, you know, and meditation allows me to focus, bring it back, reel it in. And I just talked about this yesterday about, you know, whenever I get out into the future, I usually take some sort of deadly sin with me, some ego or pride or gluttony or something, you know, whether it's based around like a lottery or you know, success of some sort.
Oh, yeah, of course. The ego is...
Ego. It's a hell. Me and ego, we travel.
I want to be the dead guy in the funeral, right?
Right.
All eyes on me.
Well, I always say, I'd never commit suicide because I wouldn't want to miss my own funeral. I don't want to miss all the great things said about me.
Yeah.
But so that's great. I mean, that's nice that you guys have that that thing, you know, once a week. It's nice to have that little obligation to each other. Do you guys bring in new people? I know you invited me.
Yeah, we try to. Well, the more the merrier. I know this time of day, though, it's a little hard for some people with regular jobs and whatnot. But yeah, we just, every chance we have, we invite new people. And so sometimes we have 10 people, you know, upstairs meditating. Sometimes there's, like today, there was only just three of us. Yeah.
Yeah, my son. I feel like I'm just. I got so much stuff going on, and nothing like super important. Just like I decided I would cut my in-laws grass. This I've been doing it for a while, I like that's my meditation.
Yeah,
make the lines perfect. You know, I always. I was in the golf course business for a long time, and I miss cutting grass.
Yes.
And I cut the lines perfectly, these perfect arches, and my father-in-law's like, oh, my God, so good. I'm like, you think so? Wait till next week. I'll make them straight, So that's become...
You got a little creative.
Yeah, it's my meditation. I enjoy cutting grass and walking on with the lawnmower. But, the day just... It seems like you try to get so much done before work, and then you got work because you want to try to free up your time after work. Because exactly. For one, like as we get into summer, the traffic starts.
Ay, ay, ay.
Ay.
That's right.
Ay, ay, ay. I hear that. How's Urban Float? How's your job?
It's good. Yeah. So
first of all, introduce yourself. I'm sorry.
Well, my name is Aquiles de Merutis, and I'm mostly known as the fish taco guy.
Yes.
Or formerly. Anyway,
well, I know you as one of my good friends. I appreciate you as a friend. You've been a good friend of mine for a long time, neighbor.
Yeah.
And I had, do you know Andrew Chris?
Yes, of course.
He lives around the corner. He was on the podcast yesterday.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy, man.
He's a great guy.
Yeah. Awesome.
I got some great neighbors.
Yeah. He's, I don't know if you remember, but he used to compete in bodybuilding. And
I remember him. He was pretty pumped up.
Oh, man. Yeah.
He was pretty
chiseled
up.
And he's a painter, too. His art is great. I don't know if you've ever seen any of his paintings.
Absolutely. I have. That was why I had him on. He's an artist. He's an actor. He's a bodybuilder.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. An actor that he performs.
Yep. He's in theater.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Shakespeare.
Yeah.
He's got a cool little house.
Yeah.
I told him yesterday, I want to put a metal roof on.
Yeah.
I love his red metal roof on his house.
Yeah,
but we wouldn't acknowledge where we live because we think we live in such a great neighborhood, quiet little simple neighborhood.
It is exactly
humble.
That's right,
with a bunch of self-centered maniacs in it.
You and me,
and Chris and Andrew.
No,
I'm just joking. So what's going on? I know. So you've been over at Urban Float.
Yeah, I work only two days a week. And because I've been trying to get my real estate license and finally got it last week. I took my test, drove up to Dover, and finally took the test and passed it. So
it's stressful, man.
It is, especially I wasn't much for school even when I was younger.
Me and you are a lot alike. School wasn't my forte.
Exactly, mine either.
Skipping it was.
I like the social part of it. Yes. Go socialize.
Right.
But studying, not so much.
Not so much.
Yeah.
And then I also had, I love my folks, but they were the worst as far as they just helped me with everything. They did. We would sit at the table for hours doing homework. I'm like, oh, I know what not to do with my kids.
Yeah.
How are your kids?
They're doing well.
Are they still at Sussex Academy?
No, they never went to Sussex.
Oh, they never did.
No, Beacon and my daughter just finished her first year of Cape Henlopen High School.
How did
Leonora?
That's right. I remember she was. I know she was trying.
She tried to get into Sussex Academy, but she didn't make the.
So and then she what lottery. Went sixth grade and then just decided to stick with that.
Yeah.
The Beacon.
Yep.
My son David, who's at Sussex Academy, he's been talking about his mother's moving up to Philly, and thinking about going with her. Which I've always said, if you're gonna go out and see the world, I'm not gonna stop you.
Yeah,
I'd hate to we'd probably do something like he'd be up there for school and here for the summer or something. But a part of it was like, if he goes, then the other kids aren't going to get into Sussex Academy. But then I was like, well, they could go to Beacon. It's not like they're all fine. It's all grade school.
It is a great school.
It's a great school. And Cape Henlopen's fine.
Yeah, that too. It's a great school. And, I think not that I help with my kids' study or, school activities other than just driving them around, but I think part of it is that the parents need to be involved. It's not just leave it to the teacher. I think that's a problem of a lot of parents. They think that, they're in school is their problem, the teacher.
It is.
And
so you want to come back. You want your kids to come home, and then you're the home teacher.
That's right.
Okay, well, that's fine. That's if that's your thing.
No. What I'm saying is that, I mean, we it's our responsibility to help them out to develop, and not like you're saying that just do their homework, but guide them, I guess. That's what I was trying to say.
Well, I mean, I always say I'm not your father. I'm your guide. I'm your...
Exactly.
But that also means if you come home and I'm sitting here doing your homework with you, you fail to pay attention, ask questions. There's a lot of things that went wrong for us to be at this point where I'm trying to teach you math that I don't even know how they do it now.
Exactly. Yeah, there's new ways.
I mean, as far as like David, I said, listen, you need to go to your teacher and you need to say, listen, I didn't pay attention. I don't know what I'm doing. That's life.
Yeah.
It's going to be that way in school. It's going to be that way in work. It's going to be that way when you raise your kids. And my parents helped me with everything. And then I struggled when I became a young adult, you know. Dad, what's the number to Pizza Hut? He said, I can look it up in the phone book, I guess. Okay, I'll wait. You know, it was just that bad.
Yeah.
Not saying you're like that, but I'm avoiding that. David, I mean, he's starting ninth grade, and for the most part, I haven't helped. For one, for what I just said. For two, I don't really know a lot of, you know, they've changed. Like when they want to show the work, I don't really know how they did the work. Yeah. I don't know how that math is done anymore. I used to stack it and add it. Now it's a whole thing. Yeah. Right?
Well, in my case, I got to be thankful for my mother-in-law because she was a math teacher.
Oh, yes.
She was a math teacher when they lived in New Jersey, and she helped us with the kids' homework. She's the one in charge, and
she's the one in charge of homework.
Yeah, and
does your mother-in-law live with you?
No,
oh
no, they're the reason why we live here. They grew up coming here to rather than going to the Jersey Shore. They would come here because I think my father-in-law's family grew up. They're from Maryland, so they grew up coming here to Rehoboth since he was a baby.
Yeah,
you know, and so they built a house here. And. And we just, you know, when our daughter was born, we were in Colorado, in Fort Collins. My wife was doing a master's at Colorado State University.
Mm-hmm.
And epidemiology, or contagious diseases for cows.
Oh, nice.
Anyway, so our daughter was born, and we wanted to be near family. So that's why we end up here in Rehoboth.
Do you like comparing Rehoboth to Colorado?
Well,
because I came from Albuquerque. I mean, I'm not. I mean, I'm here, but I do not. I missed the.
I guess Albuquerque and Fort Collins is kind of similar.
Right. Probably 5,000 feet.
Exactly. Mountains.
Foothills.
Yeah.
Mexican food.
That's right. Good Mexican food, man.
I just got 5 pounds of Hatch green chilies in the mail.
Nice.
Do you like Hatch green chilies?
I do.
I'll have to give you some.
Yeah.
Because I also ordered 10 more pounds of Hatch green chilies that I'm going to have to roast. I love green chilies.
Yes, I know.
Good Delicious.
Stuff. So I like Rehoboth. You know, I like the beach. I like the community. You know, it's a really cool place where we have here, man.
You need to do a podcast or something. I see you itching just to be out there. I mean, you used to do those kind of the Facebook Lives from the restaurant.
Yes.
And then you were doing some kind of Facebook Lives from the beach.
I've been slacking, though, because people tell me, come on, man, you know, my weather report, or my surf report?
Then you were doing the weather report.
Yeah.
And I see, you know, I think that one of the challenges, like of a podcast or anything like that, is you have to be consistent.
It is, yeah.
And, you know, it's always a fun idea, and you start doing it, and then you're like, oh, God, and then it becomes a thing. And, you know, then we kind of, I think you and me might be a lot alike in the facts that we like to think up a project, get it started, and then once it becomes, you know, running, then we're like, huh, okay, next project. But, yeah, you need to have something.
Yeah.
I think, you know what I think you should do? I think you should blow the real estate game up.
What do you mean?
I mean, you know, find a new way. Oh, are you just going to be like the rest of the real estate ducks and get all lined up? And are you going to, you know, make a unique name for yourself? I always say, why not, you know, do a time lapse, do a vlog, do a video, a real estate vlog, do a podcast.
Well, I guess I'm going to add my own flavor to the real estate because I don't think I'll wear a tie. To start with.
You're going to?
No.
Oh.
The only time I wore a tie was when I worked at the bank, WSFS. I don't know, a lot of people don't know that, but before
did you?
I had the restaurant. You know, I'm really grateful to that bank, man. I own my house to them. I got my mortgage through them. I got my business loan to start the El Dorado restaurants through them too.
It's a good bank. Good local bank.
Yeah. Scott Swingle. You're the man.
Same with the community bank.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I always try to promote local banks and local business. Because when I opened
decisions are made here.
Well, when I decided to open the salon, I didn't go to WSFS. My bad. But I went to all the other ones, and nobody would give me a loan.
Yeah.
And community bank was the only one that would do it. So, like you, I'm indebted to that little bank. Over there. I actually tried to get Alex Pyrese to come on the podcast, but he ghosted me.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he's a busy guy. Too many things going on.
Whatever.
Half a Dewey.
Yeah, whatever. That's fine. I mean, it can't be personal.
Yeah. I see Jon Snow often, who's on Highway 1. He comes to the spa to float. Jon Snow. His partners.
Game of Thrones?
No. You know what? I'm probably one of the guys, one of the 1%.
Please don't tell me you didn't ever watch Game of Thrones.
Not a single episode. And, you know,
I should throw you off this podcast. I just had...
No, Jon Snow is a partner of Alex Pyrese.
Yeah. I just had...
Highway 1.
Carlos was just on, and we just had this conversation about... Oh, I love those people that are like, I have never seen one Game of Thrones episode. Like, they're so... Like, they've got this... Their banner, they're flying. No Game of Thrones.
Well, you know, I just...
I know you watch TV.
Oh, I sure do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know you don't go to... You just don't do push-ups all day.
No, of course not.
You're not working all day.
No.
You have your moments.
Yeah.
I can't stand when people don't like TV.
Oh, I do.
I love freaking TV. Yeah. Love it. I mean, I'll do my work. I mean, I've been up since 5:30 this morning. Yeah. I've been to the gym. I mowed the grass. I'm doing a podcast. I got to work till 5. But after I
get home... You already watch an episode or something?
No, not yet. I haven't watched any TV yet. Yeah. But when I get home, my wife and I, we love sitting on the couch.
Yeah.
We snuggle up and we watch television.
Good.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
So, can you say something to him, Jon Snow?
I will. Definitely will.
I mean, you know, I think... like I had Preston Schell on, and he goes, you know, I had to go to listen to your other podcast to make sure I wasn't, you were going to set me up for something, like some sort of like sneak attack or, you know. I'm not even smart enough to sneak attack. I'm not even smart enough to come up with an example of a sneak attack.
Yeah.
But I was like, man, I love this town and I love the people in it. And it's only just about, you know, positive stuff. So I sent him a message.
Just shooting the breeze.
Yeah, well, you know. I wanted him, first of all, to say thank you. Not that he gave me the loan, but he built, you know, he has the bank. And I wanted to say thank you for Community Bank taking a chance on me and letting me open the salon. That was the same reason I had Preston on.
Yeah.
You know, I just wanted to tell him thank you. And he's like, you're the only one, you're the only original business here left. And so it was nice of him to take the chance and come on. And it was nice to give me the opportunity to say thank you. That's why I wanted Alex on. But, you know, I was wondering what they're doing down on Highway 1. I mean, it's a whole thing, but not a lot's going on down there.
Yeah.
I know he's got 100 things going on.
Oh, so I'm sure.
It was just, in the beginning, I was just trying to, you know, just reach out and see if I can get some people. Now I'm starting to get, people are starting to call me and wanting to.
They want to get on. That's cool, man. Yeah. See?
Well, we just went over.
Joe Rogan, here I come.
Yeah, I watched Joe Rogan last night. I love Joe Rogan. He hadn't done a podcast in over a week and a half.
Yeah.
And I had a guy on, Neil Perry, who's a local photographer, but him and I are both Joe Rogan fans, and I'm like, he hasn't had a podcast on. He goes, I know. It's been a week and a half. And I think that, you know, like a weather report or a podcast, I think the most important thing out of all that is just consistency because, you know, whether it's great or not great,
you got the fans hooked.
Yeah, people enjoy it, and it's just something they do. I love watching Joe Rogan. He had a couple guests on yesterday that I wasn't a big fan of. He had this...
Alex Jones?
No, I like Alex Jones.
You do?
He's quite
a character.
He's
sure.
a character, but he's good content, you know. Yeah. But he had Miss Pat, this big black comedian lady. But she was real vulgar, and she had to take her niece's children because her niece was a crackhead, and she dumped the kids off on her, so she's raising these kids, but she kept calling them crack babies, which is funny. She's a comedian, but I was like, it's not really
got
funny.
Got to a point.
Yeah, it's like...
Enough.
So, and I think even Joe Rogan was like, you know. So I love Joe. I don't know. It's just like, I just love it when I get to watch it, whether it's for 5 minutes or for a half hour or something.
Yeah.
But it's about consistency. And when he didn't post for a week and a half, I was like, oh, shit, what's going on? Joe, okay.
Yeah. When I'm on the grass, I listen to podcasts. not necessarily Joe, but there's one that I really like. It's called The Unbeatable Mind by Mark Divine. He was a Navy SEAL.
Yep. He's been on Joe Rogan's podcast.
I don't think he has.
Is he black?
No.
Black guy?
That's Goggins.
Oh, okay. David Goggins?
Yeah.
Is that the guy that ran eight 100-mile marathons in 8 days?
Yeah. He's insane.
There's a sad spot there. Something sad. You know.
He's quite a guy, man. You know, he's got a story, too. And in fact, I the last time I caught the grass, I listened to the five best of last year or something, and one of them was with David Goggins. And actually, that's one of the reasons why I started fasting, thanks to one of those podcasts. He was interviewing Dr. Jason Fung, who specializes in diabetes. Yep. And how is fasting good for that.
Well, I told you I only do just supper now.
Yeah.
So I only eat supper, even though this morning I did eat a half an avocado. But I'm introduced, you know, I'm starting to bring a few things back in, but just it's only plants and animals. I'm not eating any shit.
Yeah.
And I got all obsessed with that through the podcast too.
That's good.
You know, is it Jones, Dr. Jones, I think his name was, but he's, you know, he does that, you know, it's all that intermittent fasting. Mm-hmm. I call it getting back to basics.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
When do we become so entitled to all this food?
Yeah.
You know, it's not how it was 300 years ago. It doesn't mean that we have to feel bad about that we don't eat like we did 300 years ago. But I do think that it's a real, for me, like just doing the supper really made me understand like how much crap I eat just out of boredom, out of habit, out of transition.
Out of habit, exactly.
Habit, relationship. Yeah. My transition from like, you know, from this, like I'll do this and then I would go eat some almonds as my client comes in. I don't know why. It just became this. Drinking for me was a habit.
Yeah.
But, you know, so when I decided, forget it, I don't eat till 7, it really, first I broke up with breakfast, broke up with lunch, broke up with almonds, broke up with oatmeal. It was, a lot of relationships. But now I didn't, you know, I won't eat until 7 and I won't even be hungry.
Yeah.
And I can't, people, oh my God, you really must gorge yourself at night. No, I just eat, I think like a half a steak, a little baked potato, some steamed broccoli or something good like that.
I love steamed broccoli.
Oh, my God.
A little garlic. Oh, man.
I had some last night.
Me too.
So good.
Yeah.
Well, my wife has, she struggled with a little psoriasis. So she has, you know, it's an autoimmune condition. And she gets it on her scalp. And she hates it. It's, you know, because, you know, it flakes. And it's.
I'm sure her diet, you know, definitely helps with that.
Well, she's not doing the Just Supper. I did it because I'd lost touch with why I was eating in the first place. But so this is our second week of being gluten-free. Yeah. Just to try to see if we can figure out.
Exactly. Try new things.
Try new things. See if we can, without having to get on all these prescriptive medicines, which she was on before. And they didn't even help, but I would have to give her injections into her stomach.
Yeah.
And it's like awful. So,
I think, that I have discovered a bunch of things trying it on myself. Because you can read books and people can say, oh, this and that. But if you try it and it works, voila, there you go.
Well, and I think it is nice when it works. It is nice when you try stuff.
Yeah.
Because one of the things, like I bet you hear it all the time. Well, what is your schedule like for eating? Like just dinner?
No. I probably break my fast around noon or 1. And first thing I have is a smoothie. Obviously, the Cro-Magnon man didn't have a blender, so that's not part of the original diet.
You go over to Mudslinger's?
No, I make it myself.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I buy a lot of stuff online that I use for my smoothies, like maca powder. And I try to, I've been buying from all over the world, and I realize, I guess, trying to pinpoint the best quality or best,
I mean, what's your goal? I mean, you look pretty healthy. I mean, do you want to be even more healthy?
No, just.
Do you want to be more awesome? I mean, how awesome are you going to be, Achilles?
Come on, Tom.
You going to start being like in a half shirt and stuff? I mean, a vest? I mean, let's go to jeans and a vest. I mean, and seriously, why? I mean,
what's my goal?
Yeah.
Well, just, I guess, I feel good, doing what I do. I enjoy my smoothies, you know, like I said, to break my fast. And then,
well, what's in a smoothie?
I start with maybe like a cup or a cup and a half of mixed berries, frozen berries.
Okay.
Super G has the best.
Okay, so you're going to other countries for certain things, and then you go to the frozen department for the frozen berries.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. At least I know you're still human.
And so I use a little bit of, like I say, maca root powder, a little bit of spirulina.
Spirulina?
It's
spirulina.
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 Well, I don't know how it's pronounced.
I think you're pronouncing it right.
It's
it sounds better when you say it.
Spirulina.
Yes.
It's seaweed.
Yep.
Seaweed. It smells funky, but it's good.
So for what? Your greens?
Yeah. And then I use a little bit of a scoop of whey powder and
protein.
Yeah. Coconut oil. Man, I love coconut oil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, growing up, there was a factory around near my house that processed coconut oil exclusively.
Mm-hmm.
And I could, that brings me back every time I take a little, you know, not a spoonful, because that meal is a little too much, but a little taste of coconut oil brings me back to that, you know.
What is coconut oil? It just kind of like lubricate the insides? I mean, what is it? Is there
something? Well, it's energy. It's energy. If I try to, because I've been trying to avoid carbs as well. And meaning carbs, you know, like refined, like I know the fruit is carbs, you know, sugar.
Are you feeling, is your energy low?
No, the other way. Like before, no, I mean, I started.
Before, I mean, whatever got you to this point where, you know, had your energy become low?
It was, you know, I was eating, I guess, three or four times a day.
Mm-hmm.
When I had the restaurant. Actually, when I started my fasting and my diet, like try to, you know, keto.
Yep.
Semi-keto, I guess, because I would have the, you know, I would eat fish tacos every day, man. Believe me. When people think that tacos are unhealthy, I guess they're doing it wrong. I was eating fish tacos, man, every day. Maybe two of them with double grilled fish.
But you were grilling them. You weren't eating the battered fish.
Once in a while, you know, I was treating myself with a fried fish.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And you had some damn good tacos. I don't know why you're still not doing tacos.
Yeah, I know. I guess eventually if I sell enough houses and help enough clients, I might buy a taco truck and go back to that business. Because I do love the tacos and miss my customers.
And the people.
Too. Yeah.
So you weren't, your energy was low. I had just kind of the opposite. I've always felt like my energy was okay. But when I just started because I eat at 7 and I stop eating at midnight. That's the shut off.
Yeah.
And then I don't eat till 7. But I can get up at 5, 6 in the morning and run 5 miles.
Exactly.
And not have breakfast and then through lunch and then not eat until 7. And people are like, oh, my God, my blood sugar would be low. Or, oh, my God, it would just be. And I'm like, I think you think that. But I'm not sure that that's the truth. Because really, I mean, when I eat supper, I'm really not using that. I'm not pulling that energy, that nutrition out until it starts to digest.
That's right.
You know, so it's not even available for really till the morning.
Yeah.
So I think that was one of the things that I realized when I started doing that is also that I became really concerned with if I'm only eating a meal, I'm making it really good.
Exactly.
Steak.
Nice, healthy.
Butter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Vegetables.
Yeah.
Potatoes.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I was, you know, drinking, having to have a cup of coffee in the afternoon or even a Red Bull. Ugh, I don't miss those things.
No, I've never had one.
Yeah.
Never had a Red Bull. I like coffee.
Yeah.
This is my second week of drinking black coffee. Third week of drinking black coffee.
I only drink it with cream.
Yeah, I cut it all out. I was drinking coffee. It was like a delicious dessert every time I had a coffee.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what, I'm just going to go black.
Yeah.
And now that I've gone black, I can't go back. Sorry.
I mean, that's good, man, you know.
For example, I love it.
When I go to, I work out at least 3 times a week. I love going to CrossFit, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Yeah, you wanted to talk a little bit about CrossFit.
And I go at 7:45 in the morning. So by then, I haven't had breakfast. I just had maybe 1-2 cups of coffee with no sugar, just a little bit of cream. And that's it. I think I have enough energy, you know, to perform, and I do well, man. I love that place. Just yesterday, I surprised myself, you know.
What'd you do?
Well, I outweighed one of the, you know, bigger guys in there.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
You went big.
I did. Yeah. But, you know, it's not about, you know, what you have. I didn't have, like, oatmeal for breakfast. None of that. You know? Like you said, so you pull energy from the reserve, I guess. So.
Well, you know, and the body, and you probably know this, the body is designed for two things, either eating or storing.
Exactly.
You know, we're either eating for our energy or we're storing it for later.
Yeah.
And if we forget, if we're just kind of like doing a fast or that kind of that intermittent stuff, the body remembers like, oh, okay, we don't have any food, so let's go to our reserves. There's a switching thing that happens. It used to happen a lot when I would run. I'd go for a run and I'd like kind of bonk out and, you know, it'd be a good time for a gel or a granola bar or a Clif bar. But if you just walk a couple minutes, it redirects, finds more food, finds more energy, and then I can kind of pick up where I left off and start running again.
Yeah.
But if the body doesn't have that switching, it just says, you're hungry, and not you, because, you know, you're obviously working out and look great. But, you know, if someone's trying to struggle with weight, you know, and it says, I'm hungry, and instead of letting that switch, which probably has forgotten even how to switch on that person.
Yeah.
But, you know, a ketosis diet or ketosis diet kicks that switch back open. That's why.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, but if it doesn't remember, it just says I'm hungry, and then we give it, you know, food, and it never works on the reserves.
Yeah.
And it's a, you know,
this doctor Jason Fung said that it takes about 2 weeks to get rid of that. I think he calls it the flu. I forgot what the name.
The ability to switch.
Correct. Yeah. But after 2 weeks, you just, you know, your body adjusts and.
Well, and there's a, you know, I forget which podcast, but it talks about like in the late 60s or early 60s that, you know, we decided we're going to take on heart disease and the solution was a high carb, low fat diet. And they're finding out that's not a great diet.
It's not.
It's a bad diet. But nobody wants to admit it because that would make them all wrong and nobody wants to be wrong. So, but we've trained, I mean, I watch my kids, I serve them food and they're like freaking surgeons. Yeah. They cut off every slice of fat. You know, it's like this. I'm like, the fat's good, man. That's the best part. I mean, it's good for you. And but we've trained them, and now we've bred all the fat out of meat. Everybody wants lean meat, fat free. I say if it says fat free, it might as well say fuel free.
Yeah.
And you know, but it's tough because that's what we taught everybody. So, you know, I'm not sure what we're gonna do.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the things that I put in my smoothie, it's also like a cup of Greek yogurt. Mm. And I love Faye has a 5% fat yogurt, thick Greek yogurt. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I love it.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yes.
But is that dairy?
It is.
Okay. I'm really finding this. What I've also learned is I really struggle with dairy.
Really?
Milk especially. I love milk.
Yeah.
Cow milk. Delicious.
Yeah.
But if I drink it, and it's weird because before I started doing this, I just would have moments I didn't feel good. I couldn't really pinpoint why.
Yeah.
But now, like if I don't feel good, I go, okay, what did I, okay, I drank some milk last night. And it's
I guess back to the point what I said that everybody's different, you know, and unless you try it and realize, you know, try to be observant to what helps and what doesn't. You know, some things might work for some people, some might not, you know. Like, for example, what you're doing, the one meal a day or, you know, a couple or just, you know, having dinner might not work for some people. For example, my wife, forget about it. She'll never go for that.
Yeah, but your wife's skinny.
I know, but still.
She shouldn't. It's not. So, you know, it's not. First of all, it's not a diet. It's a reconnection with nutrition. It's starting to understand. It's like, but do it for a week. I bet she would be like, you know, start understanding a little bit more about food.
Yeah.
I know that's what it was for me. Yeah. It's not. I'm not saying it's. I just told you I just had a half avocado for breakfast this morning.
Nice. I love avocados, by the way.
Yeah, I just had to kind of reset.
Yeah.
And start to understand because, you know, I'd say, "What do you want for dinner?" I don't know. I'd say, "Well, I guess," and I make some just cheesy quesadilla with some leftover meat, and we just eat it because that's just what you do. It's supper. I'd have something for breakfast. I'd eat crap throughout the day. I would tend to hold so much weight in my intestines that it would make me feel fat. And then I'm like, well, I need to go on a diet. And it's really just bloat. you know, and you know, have you ever felt like, probably not you, but some people.
Oh, I have. Believe me.
You're like, oh my god, I gotta go on a diet, and then you take a big shit. After next thing like, you know, like, oh, glorious.
Five slices of pizza.
Yeah, right. You're like, oh my god, I need to start two gyms.
Yeah.
But then you know, everything moves through, and you're like, oh my god, I feel great again.
Yeah, that's right.
So, it's managing my intestines. Yeah. What's going on in there? I have my gallbladder out. I don't know if that has anything to do with the way I digest food. It may not, but.
They took your gallbladder out?
Yeah. I had it out.
Uh-huh.
I took it out. No, I had it out. But that was like 10 years ago.
Okay.
But, you know, maybe that has something to do with it. I'm not sure, but.
Yeah.
So it was great. But, yeah, I saw your wife just yesterday at the gym. She doesn't need to be doing just supper. My wife doesn't do it. Yeah. But my wife's skinny, you know, 90 pounds. I mean, I make her. But the other thing that I do now is I make sure, like, I make my wife lunch every day. I make her great dinner every night. She doesn't eat breakfast, but, you know, it's always something healthy, broccoli, some sort of chicken or meat, a vegetable, because she will, you know, eat Capriati's. Not that Capriati's isn't amazing, but, you know, I try to provide her with a little bit of a healthier lunch.
Good.
Because I'm a good guy. So what are you doing the rest of the day? Oh, shit, it's almost 10. What are you going to do the rest of the day? You working?
Well, I'm working on getting an office to start my real estate, you know, gig. But
who are you going to work with?
I don't know. I don't know yet.
Well, will you come back and talk to me about it?
Of course, definitely.
And this was just kind of a quick, you know, when someone gives me the opportunity. Yeah, someone gives me the opportunity to do a podcast, I got to take it. Because, you know, it's just... You know, there's not a lot of people that want to do them. So there's actually a few people, but when someone says yes, I say let's do it. So I have to make this one a little bit short. But Achilles, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
I'm going to have you back because I do want to hear the choice you make, who you're going to work with, and then how we can try to help promote you.
Yes.
And get you busy.
Definitely.
And get that tie on you. Or no tie.
No tie. Unless I'm going back to the bank, which I don't think I am.
You can't go back to a bank. Would they take you? Dude, where did you do a teller? Were you a teller?
I was.
You were the guy at the teller booth.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I was there for over a year, maybe a year and a half.
When was that?
2005, I believe. Yeah, that's right. Because my son was born when I was already working for the bank, and Tino was born in 2005.
So did you work at the bank before El Dorado?
Yes.
Okay, see, because I didn't know you then.
That was my first job here. Actually, I worked at Clark's Bostonian outlet selling shoes probably for about 2 or 3 weeks, maybe a month.
I worked at the Polo outlet.
You did?
It was a freaking nightmare.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I used to sit there and cut tags.
Cut tags?
Yeah, like all these shipments would come in of all these shirts, and they'd be priced, you know, $100.
Uh-huh.
And I would cut the price off, and then they would, you know...
Put a sticker on it.
Yeah, put a sticker, $50 or whatever, or half off. I'm like, oh my God, what am I doing? I was drinking then. I was like kind of at the end. I really wasn't worth anything.
Yeah.
Just drinking and partying. And that's when I first actually moved here.
Yeah.
It was in 94.
Wow. Yeah, we got here, I think, in 04 or 05. Really? Yeah, my daughter was born in 04. So we got here, I think, she was 9 months old, so 04. Yeah.
Well, you know, I always think I don't know if you remember, I was used to do a vlog where I did like time lapse with drone stuff. And I always thought if I was going to be a real estate agent, I thought I would do a vlog. I would do a vlog for every house that I was selling.
Yeah.
And the beginning of the vlog would be a time lapse of how the sun rises, like from the front yard.
Okay.
And maybe a time lapse of how the sun rises from the backyard and the sunset. And just do a lot of like stuff flying over the house. Just I would have a cool interaction.
That's like a good idea, man. Maybe I'll take on that.
Yeah, but you know, you could become a character. You know, like your opening thing is, you know, your picture of your feet with your briefcase and you picking it up and then walking off. And then that was that's how your little vlog would start.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a lot of real estate agents out there, obviously. But if you get, I mean...
A lot of them, yeah.
And they, you know, they post their pictures now on Facebook. And now they're posting their house, their listings in their personal Facebook that they're selling. Which I get, you know, you got to do whatever you can do. But if you can become a character that people become interested in...
Yeah.
Like, oh, what's Keely's doing today? I'm not interested in any houses, but I am interested in what Keely's doing
what
this
he's
morning.
Up to.
Yeah, but I mean, if you can do that...
Yeah.
You know, people, you not only are you... people that are interested in houses interested in you, but people that are also not interested in houses are interested in you. And then they say, oh my God, you got to get Akil. He's so good. He just does so much.
Yeah.
Well, so are you ready for the 5-step program that we're going to start for becoming a successful real estate agent? By the way, I've never done any real estate.
Yeah.
We'll let you be the teacher.
All right. You know, really what helped me with the test was that I went through that process a couple of times. We bought a house when we lived in Colorado, and then we sold it. And then we bought a house here, which we still have. And then I bought the business. Because do you remember El Dorado actually had that name already, El Dorado? But it was, because Dorado means also crispy in Spanish.
Okay.
And it opened as a Peruvian chicken place, that restaurant.
Oh, so it was already El Dorado.
It was. Okay. But there was no fish tacos. It was Peruvian chicken called El Dorado.
Okay.
Unfortunately, they had some issues, some problems. They only opened for about a month and a half. And lucky for me, when I wanted to get into the business of fish tacos, they were selling the business. I went to, in fact, I talked to Bill Pfaff or Bill Pfaff.
Pfeiffer?
No.
Oh, I said Bill Pfaiffer.
It's spelled P-F-A-F-F, Pfaff.
Okay.
Which actually, he's a doctor too. There's another doctor with that name, Bill Pfaff or Bill Pfaff. But anyway, he was the director of the Small Business Development Center in Georgetown.
All right.
And he had helped this Peruvian couple, to open El Dorado from the ground up, because that building was fairly new. The Gray Hair Tavern had just opened as well. And lucky for me, man, everything I needed was there already. The only thing I couldn't use was the rotisserie chicken, which I sold. And I put there in place a griddle, a flat top.
Mm.
And went from there. But that, even the restaurant came with a name too. I just switched from El Dorado rotisserie chicken to El Dorado fish tacos, which actually worked
made
really
more
well.
Sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love your food. I actually love, you know, I moved here from San Diego. And San Diego is just, I mean, they have
best
the best
fish tacos, of course.
Well, they have the best Mexican food. You know, it's
that too.
It's that corner Mexican, little Mexican restaurant, little hot sauce, little cups of hot sauce. I used to love that. But I remember when I moved to San Diego and I used to go eat Taco Bell. And I had a friend, he's like, why do you eat Taco Bell? I go, I don't know. He goes, no, we need to go to Alfonso's or Alberto's.
Uh-huh.
And I was like,
all right.
Okay. And I got a carne asada burrito with sour cream and guacamole. It was wrapped up in paper and foil, and it was huge. Yeah. And I remember that first bite with those little, you know, little green sauces or little red sauces.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my. Never went back to Taco Bell again. Yeah. But they, you know, the roll tacos you'd get wrapped in paper with just a blob of sour cream and guacamole and that salsa fresca on top. It was just a mess, but you knew exactly what you were getting.
Of course.
And so when you had that food, I used to love eating it. For some reason, and you told me later I should have got my chicken or my fish grilled, but I had stomach problems with the batter. I don't know, baking soda or whatever, but I used to love, you used to sell, and they used to, it reminded me of San Diego, those hot carrots. Well, you would do like hot onions.
Yep.
And you would put a few little carrots in there.
Carrots, yeah.
And I'd get a scoop and then I'd eat the carrots out.
Yeah.
But I'm like, why don't we just do all hot carrots? More, too much work.
No, I try to, you know, mix it evenly.
I used to love hot carrots from those restaurants. They had the big jar.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And
glass jars.
But I loved all that, you know, your little, what'd you get?
Salsa bar.
Yeah. I was going to say.
And in Mexico, you know, truly Mexican food is not spicy. You can make it spicy with the salsas or leave it as is. Yeah.
Where like a Southwestern has more a spice to it.
Exactly. Spice already. Yeah. Like in Mexico, no matter how fancy or crummy the place is, they're always going to have 3, 4, 5 different salsas available for you to, you know, spice up or not your food.
Well, this wouldn't be a podcast without mentioning Matt Haley, because he always ends up on the podcast. But yes. I remember him going down to Mexico,
yep,
and walking the streets in the back alleys, and you know, finding the food carts, and you know, I think that was a lot. He was looking for some direction when he was opening Papa Grande, I think.
No. I have a story for that.
Well,
man.
You were down there.
I took a plane. I think I always, you know. when I'm traveling by myself, I don't mind, you know, I just find the cheapest flight. So mm-hmm. usually it's out of Ronald Reagan, Washington National. Obviously, it's not an international airport, so I have to fly somewhere else and then make a connection. So I think I was flying out of D.C., and I had to switch planes in Dallas. And I jump in the plane in Dallas, and I see Matt Haley by himself. I was like, hey, what's up, man? Where are you going? Obviously, Cabo. But what are you going to Cabo for by yourself? I was like, one of his employees was getting married from Blue Coast in Bethany Beach.
Yeah.
And I think bartender or something. There was a wedding going on down there.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, what? He's like, nobody's sitting here. The plane was half empty. I was like, why don't you sit here with me? I was like, all right. So I sat down next to him, and we chatted all the way down. I know my way around because I lived in Cabo for a couple of years, so I had rented a car already. And he said, you know, why don't you pick me up one of these days, and we'll go out, you know, to eat where the Mexicans eat. I was like, definitely. I wasn't staying in Cabo because I was staying on the Pacific side. I love surfing, and in the winter, the best waves are in the Pacific side. So it's a little town called Cerritos, which is south of Todos Santos, about 45 minutes north of Cabo. Yes.
So Cabo is up towards, more towards like Tijuana, up that?
It's part of the Baja Peninsula, but all the way down.
Okay.
So 1,000 miles south of Tijuana. Like the Baja 1,000 race starts uh-huh. in Tijuana or San Diego, and it ends up in La Paz, which is just north of Cabo.
But I mean, yes. It's on that Pacific side. Because we just went down to... Cancun.
Okay.
And that's like a completely
that
different
coast,
part of...
Completely. Yeah, different. Yeah. It is nice. The beach is beautiful. White sandy beaches, clear.
I don't think it's sand. I think it's crushed coral.
Okay. That's why, well, it makes sense. That's why it's white.
And I didn't particularly think it was great.
It was nice.
I'm not,
loved,
we have great see. Beaches right here.
It makes a great postcard.
That's right. It makes a good Instagram post.
Yeah. So, yeah, I bumped into them. And so I picked them up one day, and we went to a place away completely. I mean, and it was really funny, man, because I was telling, oh, yeah, I lived here. But the place had changed so much. And we stopped for directions. Oh, man, I can't believe, you know, small world. He was away from the tourist area.
Is this bringing back a lot of memories?
Yes, it was funny, man, because he was cracking up. I wasn't familiar with the area anymore because it was, I mean, when I lived there, it was early 90s.
Yeah.
So 20 years later, it was completely packed. I mean, where there was desert, there were houses now.
Yeah.
So I was on my way back, you know, the back roads to find this restaurant, the seafood restaurant that locals recommended to me, and I got lost. So I stopped in a red light to ask. There was a guy painted with a clown, and it was juggling to get some, you know,
some
spare
money.
Change. Yes. And I was like, you know, I'm going to ask this guy. I told Matt. So I pulled over. And the guy is like, are you Achilles? I was like, what the? I was like, who the hell are you? I was like, man, do you remember? And then he started telling me who he was. I was like, no way, man. So he was still there. I guess he didn't do that well, you know.
The clown business was slacking a little.
But yeah, so he gave me directions, and Matt was cracking up, man. He's like, what the hell? So I guess you did live here.
He goes, there's proof.
Yeah. So we end up going to this place, and he ordered half of the menu, man. We ate so much, and I think he got a bunch of ideas from that restaurant when he opened Papa.
Well, you know, he came back and did like tripe tacos and a lot of that back street kind of.
Yeah, some of the Americans weren't ready for that.
Tripe is never, I'm not sure. I think, I didn't realize, the one in Rehoboth closed down, but I think the one in
Fenwick Island?
Fenwick is still open.
I think so.
Yeah.
And I think they do well. Man, Scott Cameron, he's doing a good job, man.
I love Scott. I don't even know how to get a hold of Scott Cameron anymore. I mean, I want him to come on the podcast, but yeah, he's, you know, all I hear, and I know Scott, and he knows I think he does a great job. I would only, not that he cares, but I always think he does a great job.
Yeah.
I'd love to have him on, but he's just so busy, and I'm sure he's barraged by people that want his time.
Yeah.
So I just leave it be.
He'll get here eventually. You'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I got you.
Yep.
And you're the one with the stories.
That's oh, yeah. So important. Well, I guess.
Well, I mean, but, you know.
I've been around.
You know, I'm waiting for someone to send me a cease and desist. What's a cease and
desist? Cease and desist?
Yeah, and stop talking about Matt. Because it seems like every podcast I do, somehow the story always ends up about Matt. So yeah. Hopefully we don't get in trouble for that. But do you know this lady was on yesterday, Sarah Gilmore?
Yeah, of course.
She runs Pathways or works for Pathways. Yeah.
She's pretty busy in Facebook, social media.
Yeah, I had her on the podcast yesterday.
Yep.
She is a great lady, but she had some great stories about Matt.
I'm sure. You know, Matt? She gets around too. She used to come to the restaurant, Sarah, enjoy a couple of shrimp tacos or whatnot.
She's a great lady.
Yeah.
You know, when
I think she loves Matt's Fish Camp. That's her favorite restaurant, the one in Lewis.
It's good. Yeah. Matt's Fish Camp is good.
I love it.
Yeah.
Maurice, he's the man, the chef.
Is he? Yeah. I don't know him.
Maurice Catlett, I think. I don't know how he pronounced his last name. But yeah, he's... And all the staff, Kathleen High, she helped us at the restaurant at El Dorado way back, a few summers back. She's really nice. She works there too. She's
Well, if you work for Sodell Concepts, you're more than likely a pretty decent person because
of course.
You know, they if you're a slacker or you're going to struggle with following the rules and stuff. At least back in the day, Matt wouldn't hesitate to get rid of you.
Yeah.
So I always assume if you work there, you're probably a pretty good person because they got, and I think all the restaurants have kind of stepped up their game. But he had pretty high standards over there. I don't eat out. I don't eat out anymore. I won't pay for food. We went out recently to a restaurant and got the worst food.
Yeah.
And I had a guy said, and it was funny because it was about Matt's Fish Camp. He said, I think there's a conspiracy. And I'm like, oh, my God, really? What's a conspiracy, sir? I think all the big-end restaurants have all decided they're just going to raise all their prices. And I'm like, well, I'll tell you what Matt would have told me. In the summer, those restaurants aren't for you. You know, they make a big effort during the winter and the fall to, have specials all through the fall and winter for local people. But when summer comes, game on.
That's right.
And don't go over there being all pissed off because it's expensive.
Yeah.
Because when I went to Mexico or when I go to Albuquerque or when I go other places, I spend my money.
Yeah.
I don't go, these...
Yeah, when you're on vacation, you don't care, man.
Right, you don't care. That's the point.
You splurge.
Right.
That's right.
So, come back in the fall and winter, and they'll, give you a $5 or whatever.
Exactly. Taco Tuesday.
Taco special. Tuesday, yes. Thursday hamburger. I mean, there's specials all through the week.
They are. I think it's hard for a restaurant, and I can tell you from a personal experience, because constantly the prices are rising. Food, I remember when the gasoline went up, people, they started, delivery services started to charging you gas, delivery or fuel surcharge. And so everything, it is a business now. And
business.
At the beginning, I didn't really understand that, and I wasn't making much. And little by little, I started to, and I think I still had really decent prices, man, pretty inexpensive.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, I should have probably charge more for what I was selling because I was really trying to put good quality food.
Well,
and if you don't charge enough, you're not going to make money and you're not going to survive.
Well, if a family of five went over there and everybody got two tacos, you're into it pretty deep. I mean, it wasn't cheap.
It was not, correct.
Because I ate there and that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
But, you're going to pay for good what you get.
Exactly.
And, whether it was you or like a Sodell, the one thing about Sodell, they're expensive, but it's good.
Yeah.
And where these other restaurants, this one restaurant I went to, it was not good and it was not cheap.
Yeah.
It's one thing when it's cheap and kind of not good, but when it's expensive and not good, that's annoying.
Exactly.
So, I said, but listen, we got to stop. I got to go do work. And I'll just we'll put a little asterisk here. We stopped kind of because I had a 10 o'clock hair appointment, haircut to do, but he didn't show. So then I called Akili, come back, and so you came back. So we kind of blended it. We kind of paused it and blended it in. But that's if there's a weird skip in the middle there, that's why.
Yeah.
But now we went to a whole hour. So
yeah,
Again, I already said this once. I think I deleted it out, but thank you.
Of course, you're welcome. Thanks for coming in. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, man. And we'll get you doing a podcast, or we'll get you doing
something. Once I start selling houses, I'll come back and tell you what I'm doing.
Do you know if they passed that thing in our neighborhood where they said that you can replace your house with a stick-built house? You didn't go to the meeting either?
I did not.
Have you ever been to a meeting?
I have.
You did?
Yeah. Yeah. And in fact, I think we should get more involved. I can see you as a president of the community.
Well, you know what? I told Sarah that I would like to be involved, if I could, in the Pathways program. You know, Matt was a big... Matt used to do a lot of stuff, and I'm not trying to be Matt, but I like the idea, you know, helping 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th graders, you know, that are struggling in high school. I struggled.
Yeah.
So I like that idea. I donated some money, and, you know, I always said if I can speak or do anything, I would definitely do it. So,
yeah. It's all about karma, my friend. You want to do well, help others, and it'll happen.
I just don't want to get involved in a HOA. Because everyone complains.
I know. Yeah, that'll be tough. Achille, I would like to be the president, but anyway.
Thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
You are not a virgin, podcast virgin anymore. I hope you'll be all right for the rest of the day.
I will be. Thank you.
All right, brother. Thank you, man.
Have a good day,
Tom. Bye-bye.
Bye.